This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uth rahmatan lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Al-yawm al-khamis wal 20 min shahri Dhulqa'dah 1445 al-muwafiq li 3 min shahri Jun 2024. نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر لي المؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So if you remember, we are still dealing with حجية خبر الأحد. حجية خبر الأحد. Because there are some from among the deviant sects, such as the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah, and the Rawafid, the Khawarij, and some who followed them from among the Usuliyin. They said Khabar al-Ahad is not Hujjah. And this opinion is wrong. We are going to show evidences, inshaAllah, that confirms that Khabar al-Ahad is Hujjah. So last time we reached a place where the Shaykh said, وَأَمَّا مَا عَرَضَ لِلْمُنْكِرِينَ لِحُجِّيَةِ خَبَرِ الْأَحَادِ مِنْ شُبْهَةِ وَهِيَ أَنَّ خَبَرَ الْآحَادِ يُفِيدُ الظَّنِ. You know, the problem they have is that they said خَبَرُ الْآحَادِ, an information, a hadith which is conveyed to us by individuals, necessitate what? Result in a dhan. What is dhan? Speculations, doubt, you know. So they said وَيَعْنُونَ بِهِ الظَّنِ الرَّاجِحِ لِجَوَازِ خَطَئِ الْوَعَدِ. So they said this is the dhan الرَّاجِح. Why dhan الرَّاجِح? Because it is possible for a person to make a mistake if he's alone conveying that message, which you might not find it when you are taking it from a lot of people. أو غفلة, or he forgot, you know, out of forgetfulness, or he couldn't see something, so he narrated in the wrong way. أو نسيان, or he forgot that which has been told to him and he said something else. والظن الراجح يجب العمل به في الأحكام اتفاقا. The speculation and the thought, which according to you, you know, about something, according to you, yes, it happens. Like 60%, 60 out of 100, it happens. This is الظن الراجح. 70%, 80%. It is obligatory if a person reached this level to use whatever produces it, this type of speculations and dhan. وَلَا يَجُزُ الْأَخْذُ بِهِ عِنْدَهُمْ فِي الْمَسَائِلِ الْعَقَدِيَّةِ. So when it comes to mu'amalat, when it comes to ahkam, praying, fasting, you know, all of these things, we take dhan al-rajah, not necessarily yaqeen. We take dhan al-rajah. But when it comes to the aqeedah, they said no. In aqeedah, you have to go with that which produces yaqeen. That which produces yaqeen. You get it? This is what the Khawarij and Mu'tazila and those scholars among the Usuliyin are saying. وَيَسْتَدِلُّونَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ بِبَعْضِ الْآيَاتِ الَّتِي تَنْهَى عَنِ اتِّبَاعِ الظَّنِ. And they also use some ayat that are telling people not to use dhan. Right? We have ayat like that, right? They said these ayat are making it prohibited upon a Muslim to use a dhan. Allah says, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنفُسُ أَوْ إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. They are not following anything except dhan, speculations. And الظَّنُّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. And these speculations, they don't benefit in any way. You get it? They don't produce anything. But this one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking because of these thoughts they have towards their idols and yeah. So they said this shows that we're not supposed to follow dhan in our life. قال فالجواب عن هذه الشبهة أن احتجاجهم بهذه الآية وأمثالها مردود. So what we will say to them that this way of this approach of theirs, you know, using this ayah to support their opinion that khabarul ahad yufidu al-dhanna is wrong. It's a very wrong approach. لأن الظن هنا ليس هو الظن الغالب الذي عنه. Because the ظن here is not the one that they are talking about, الظن الغالب أو الراجح. وإنما هو الشك. And this is the shak. You know, the mere speculations. You have 10% of doubt that comes to your heart. And you use that one. 90% is something else, but you don't go with it. You go with that, the other one. والكذب. And also the false information, lying. والخرس والتخمين. And just imagination, imaginary, you know, things. فقد جاء في النهاية واللسان النهاية النهاية في قريب الحديث لابن أثير one of the best books written on interpreting or translating the غريب الحديث. غريب الحديث means the strange words from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning words that might be a bit difficult for some people to know their meaning. You get it? So this Ibn Athir has a book on this, a very good book. Ibn Qutayba also, I think he has. But the best one is Ibn Athir, a version. His compilation is really good. Yeah. And you have al-lisan, lisan al-Arab. Al-Fairuz Abadi, lisan al-Arab is a very important book for the student of knowledge. This is like the dictionary. It's very huge. You know, one I have is volumes. There's a lot of volumes. So he says, in this book, two books, وَغَيْرِهِمَا مِنْ كُتُبِ اللُّغَى and other than them, books that are concerned with the language, أَظَّنُّ أَشَّكُّ يَعْرُضُ لَكَ فِي شَيْءٍ فَتُحَقِّقُهُ وَتَحْكُمُ بِهِ الظن is a shak. When does something become shak? When you don't have tarjih in it. 50-50 or 40-50, and the 41 is dhan, or al-waham actually. Yeah, al-marjuh, so it's a waham. Yeah? Not the dhan that Sharia tells you is okay for you to follow. Otherwise, we go in the Sharia matters with ghalabat al-dhan. Yeah? Ghalabat al-dhan. And in some situations, you have to go with the ghalabat al-dhan. Otherwise, you will be in trouble. Yeah, because yaqeen in those situations is almost impossible. So these books of the language, they interpret it and they translate al-dhan with that which comes to the mind, the shak that appears in the brain. You know, shak means you have some thought about something, you know, which the percentage is very low, but then you use it as a base of the hukum and your action. No, we don't do that. Yeah, we go with the dhan al-rajih. You know. قال ابن كثير في تفسير هذه الآية وما لهم به من علم أي ليس لهم علم صحيح يصدق ما قالوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says ما لهم به من علم, they don't have any knowledge. Ibn Kathir says, it means that they don't have any knowledge that could be relied upon, which we use it to testify, to confirm what they are saying. بل هو كذب وزور. What they are saying is none other than lying. You know, كذب and زور, they are both lying. Okay? شهادة زور, قول زور, is saying something which is not true. وافتراء. You know, creating something which did not happen. وكفر شنيع. And a very evil كفر. Yeah, because they are saying Lata wal Uzza, they are also a subject that could be worshipped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. What they're following is الظن. وَالظَّنُّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. أي لا يُجْدِي شَيْءٍ. It doesn't benefit anything. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't change the reality. وَلَا يَقُومُ أَبَدًا مَقَامَ الْحَقِّ. لَا يُغْنِي مِنْ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا, it means it cannot replace the truth. Cannot take away that dhan, speculation, to replace the truth with it. وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِيَّاكُمْ مَالظَّنَّ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. The most false, you know, statement is the dhan. Right? Because you just expect something and you walk upon it. You thought that something is like this and you act upon it. And in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do what? At-tathabbut. Whatever you do, to establish evidence for us. You have to be saying or doing something that could be substantiated through a very strong and undoubtful evidence. You get it? Or if we have the doubtful evidence, but the doubt is very little, we go with the dhan al-rajih. Otherwise, even mutawatir, is it possible to have tawatir on something that is false? In terms of inkaniya, yes. In terms of possibility, yes. Lying is always possible. You have a bunch of kathabeen, all of them agree to go with like this. If we go with the numbers, let's say those who say 12 people are enough, so we go with 12. These 12 people, they agree to lie. And then we say, oh, these are 12 people, then khalas. No, we don't go with that. So as long as all of them are trustworthy, and they are saying the same thing, then khalas. We have the yaqeen, or al-dhan al-rajih, that yes, it happens in the way they mention. قَالَ فَالشَّكُّ وَالْكَذِبُ هُوَ الظَّنُّ الَّذِي ذَمَّهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَنَعَاهُ عَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَيُؤَيِّدُ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ فَوَصَفَهُمْ بِالظَّنِّ وَالْخَرْسِ الَّذِي هُوَ مُجَرَّدُ الْحَازِرِ وَالتَّخْمِينِ وَإِذَا كَانَ الْخَرْصُ وَالتَّخْمِينُ هُوَ الظَّنُّ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ الْأَخْذُ بِهِ فِي الْأَحْكَامِ لِأَنَّ الْأَحْكَامَ لَا تُبْنَى عَلَى الشَّكِّ وَالتَّخْمِينِ So, which dhun Allah SWT is blaming here? It's just these simple thoughts and speculations that come to the brain, which is based on lying. You know, doubtful things. You're not sure about what exactly you are saying, whether it is true or not. You cannot use this type of evidences to support any action in Islam. Not just aqidah, any action. I tell you, do this. It is an act of worship. But I refuse to establish evidence to support it. I'm just telling you because I think, inshallah, this is what they used to do in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Religion of Allah cannot be established like that. You think, he thinks. You must have an evidence that is so strong to support and substantiate what you are saying or what you believe in. وَأَمَّا مَا قِيلَ مِنْ احْتِمَالٍ غَفْلَةِ الرَّاوِي وَنِسْيَانِهِ فَهُوَ مَدْفُعٌ بِمَا يُشْتَرَطُ فِي خَبْرِ الْأَحَالِ مِنْ كَوْنِ كُلُّ الرُّوَاتِ ثِقَةً ضَابِطًا فَمَا صِحَّةِ الْحَدِيثِ لَا مَجَلِّ تَوَهُمِ خَطَئِ الرَّاوِي. You know, at the first place, you know, this is the discipline that not everyone is expert in it, right? We should leave it to the expert, right? This is how it is, right? But subhanAllah, sometimes we don't have enough, you know, skills. Then we talk about a discipline without having enough skill. That's why Ibn Hazm, the scholar said, بِضَاعَتُ فِي إِبْنِ الْحَدِيثِ مُزْجَةً. He has a very deficient knowledge in the science of the hadith. That's why great scholars, Ibn Hazm might tell you this is majahid or daif. And that's why he gave us a job when it comes to the hadith of Hisham bin Ammar in Sahih Bukhari about the music and the musical instruments. Imam Bukhari said, and by the way, the book Sahih Bukhari is divided into how many divisions? Three. Yeah. How come people online sometimes? I thought people next to me they are not. No. Not. Not how many volumes? The compilation itself, the information itself inside Bukhari. How many types of hadiths you have in that book? Three. Khalid, we don't go for that seven. Just go the summarized version of it. You have al-Musnad, the hadith that Imam al-Bukhari mentioned it with isnad. Yeah, anything that Imam Bukhari mentioned sanad for it. That one, Jawaz al-Qantara, according to the best opinion of the scholars. It passes and crosses the bridge. Ibn Taymiyyah says, except an-Nazr al-Yasir, a very insignificant, you know, criticism against some few hadiths in Sahih Bukhari, but he says Bukhari al-Haq. Those people who criticize him, they were wrong. Bukhari is right. They missed something. Yeah, and you have people who did istidrak, you know, استدراك against البخاري. Istidrak means Umar compiled a book, right? But then he has a condition in that compilation. So I came after him, I say, oh, based on the conditions of Umar, this hadith is supposed to also be included in his book, but he missed it. So I did my own compilation, gathering those hadith that I believe they fulfill his condition, but he missed them. You get it? Al-Mustadrak, right? Al-Hakim. So they did that. But then subhanAllah, the scholar said, in his book, وَكَمْ بِهِ تَسَاهُلٌ This is Suyuti was saying, وَكَمْ بِهِ تَسَاهُلٌ حَتَّى وَرَدْ فِيهِ مَنَاكِيرٌ وَمَوْضُوعٌ يُرَدْ He's so negligent in his compilation. He even brought some hadiths which are fabricated, but he says they are according to the condition of Bukhari and Muslim. Bukhari had a Jabal. Debating with a person like Bukhari is just a means to expose who you are and how much weakness you have. You know, subhanAllah. That's why they use Bukhari as a benchmark and the Qiyas. When Al-Uqayri mentioned that Ali ibn al-Madini is da'if. You know Ali ibn al-Madini? Ali ibn al-Madini is the Sheikh of Imam Bukhari. Sheikh of Imam Bukhari. Uqayli wrote a book and he says Ali ibn al-Madini is da'if. You know, Imam al-Zahabi is one of the Mu'tadilin, you know, very soft people. But this softness is gone here. When he sees Ali ibn al-Madini say, Uqayli saying that Ali ibn al-Madini is da'if, he said, Ya Uqayli, amalaka aql. You know, he forgot that he's supposed to be who he was, you know, soft. He forgot. He said, amalaka aql. He used his name, Uqayli. He said, amalaka aql. I thought he still have some aql that's left, you know. You call Ali ibn al-Madini da'if? He said, Imam al-Bukhari is saying, Imam al-Bukhari said, mastasghartu nafsi inda ahad illa inda Ali ibn al-Madini. He said he never belittled himself to feel like when he's in front of somebody to feel like he doesn't know anything. He said, unless when he sits next to Ali ibn al-Madini, he feels like he's empty. So, yani Imam al-Bukhari, you cannot imagine how much knowledge he has. Amir al-Mu'minin fil hadith. You can say, number one, when you reach Bukhari, then khalas. Case closed. But this person is saying that when he sits next to Ibn al-Madini, he feels like he's just a kid who doesn't know anything. What kind of knowledge this man has, Ali ibn al-Madini? Tabib al-Ilm. And then somebody called him da'if. Yeah. So sometimes when you talk against somebody of this nature, you're just exposing your weaknesses. So the hadith al-Musnada in Sahih al-Bukhari, all of them are authentic. You have another type, which is the mu'allaqat. Okay, mu'allaqat, the Hammad is talking about, two types of ta'liq, generally. The mu'allaq that Imam Bukhari mentioned it with sigatu, tamreed, and the one that he mentioned with sigatu, al-ithbat. Meaning, Bukhari emphasized on it, he mentioned it as if something that he believes in it to be correct. Like when he says, قَالَ وَثَبَتَ وَذَكَرَ وَقَالَ فُلَان You know, he said, so-and-so person said, so-and-so, it is established. You know, these type of, you know, way of, narrating the hadith, all of these also have been checked by the scholars. They found them also authentic. Although there is no chain of narration, right? It's just Imam Bukhari just say qala. Wa qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa qala al-Hasan. Wa qala al-Zuhri. Wa qala fulan. Is that clear? From Bukhari to that sanad is correct. That statement might not be correct from that person. Meaning he said it, for sure we agree with that. But the statement itself might be wrong. Like Az-Zuhri. Zuhri talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, before the second revelation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to throw himself. Remember that? And people make it a big issue when scholars say this qissa is batila, saqita. You know? Because this is not a sanad, this is not something that is narrated by Bukhari with chain of narration. You say وقال الزهري, and scholars of hadith, they know مراسيل الزهري. They say it's أدراج الرياح, just like something that you don't pay attention to them. Yeah, that's why we keep it aside. Again, so whatever is confirmed by Imam Bukhari, he said وقال. This one also is, it has been checked by the scholars. They found them okay. And you have the one that he mentioned with sigatu at-tamrid, like waruya. It is narrated. Waqila, it is said. Wayudhkaru. And some people say, you know, it is said that it happens like that. So these are the ones that you might find authentic, you might find weak. So this is good for us to know this, because some people, you know, curse some of our scholars because of saying that this hadith is weak, this narration is weak. How can you say this isn't Sahih Bukhari? You know, that's coming because of ignorance. They have to study what is Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari did not say everything in his book is perfectly authentic, but he says what he said by isnad, khalas, he doesn't mind. You can use it and use Imam Bukhari on the Day of Judgment and say Bukhari said it's true. But other than that, it's up to you to go and look for the chain of narrations and confirm it or reject it. But the scholar did the job for us, for those narrations, mu'allakat of Imam Bukhari, that he says, waqala fulan, waqala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are all authentic. Is that clear? So Ibn Hazm, he rejected this authenticity because he says it's mu'allak, Hisham bin Ammar, because Bukhari in his book says, waqala Hisham bin Ammar. Hisham bin Ammar was Sheikh of Bukhari. When Bukhari says, قال هشام بن عمار, حدثنا فلان فلان فلان, and then he mentioned the sanad, why do we need to say it is mu'allaq? You get it? Because it is his, he is the sheikh of Imam Bukhari. So this is supposed to be musnad. According to the vast majority of the muhaddithin, this is musnad. You get it? But Ibn Hazm says no. And as such, that hadith is not being accepted by him. And whatever hukum is going to be given for the musical instrument which some people are taking is based on this approach of his, which the scholars of hadith said is wrong. And even if this hadith is mu'allaq, it has been found in other sunan with the full chain of narration from other than Hisham bin Ammar. If somebody doesn't want to take this, but there is another narration which is completed, and it's authentic also at the same time. That's why some scholars said bida'atu fi ilm al-hadith hadithi muzja. But subhanAllah, because of this deficiency, you know, when we say deficiency, don't think that deficiency is like our deficiency. No, he's a scholar, if you compare him with us, you know. But comparing him with those great scholars of hadith, of course, his knowledge in hadith is deficient. So the correct opinion, with no doubt, is that hadith is musnad in Sahih Bukhari, the one that says, before the Day of Judgment, there will be a group of people who will be legalizing four things. Al-hira, that's al-farj, zina, wal-harid, the silk for the brothers, wal-khamr, drinking of the wine, wal-ma'azif, and the use of musical instruments. Ma'azif, this is plural. All of them are included, including the duf. Duf is only exempted by the hadith during the wedding. That's it. But it is included in the prohibition also. But during the wedding, then the sisters are allowed to use. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sharia is lenient with the sisters much more than the brothers. Naturally, who loves sounds more? That's in the past. Sisters love sounds more than the brothers. Nowadays, I think it's all the same. Yeah, this zaman is zaman Allah musta'in. And gold, who is supposed to be trained to be harsh? More serious, brothers or sisters? Brothers. That's why it is inappropriate for you to go for silk. It doesn't fit you. And the gold, who needed more, brothers or the sisters? Sisters. That's part of their nature. It's not deficiency, that's part of the system. Actually, if she has a husband and she wears those ones with good intention, she gets reward. I was reading book by one of the fuqaha. He says one of the secrets in those things is that it also promotes the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wish when he says, marry those who loves you and they can bear children, they can produce children. He said, because I want to be proud of your size, yawm al-qiyamah. So the wife, when she wears this and she decorates herself, sometimes the husband doesn't have interest in anything. But that will provoke his desire. And then things are going to take place. And then what happens? In a few months, the baby is salam. What was the cause? That gold, that jewel, that happens. You get it? Shall we tell him you should respect this gold? No. You get it? But that was the thing. That's how it is. Yeah. That's why some scholars, when they write a book, when they want to tell you that this book is so beautiful, they say what? كَالدُّرِّ فَوْقَ تَرَائِبِ النِّسْوَانِ. It's just like a jewelry in that part of the body of a wife or a woman. Yeah. So it might lead to this. That's why the scholar said if she does it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trying to keep the eyes of the husband at home, she will be rewarded because of that. So it fits them. It doesn't fit the brothers. And it's good for them to be in that situation. Not the situation that some are familiar with, and the complaint is a lot. A person will come back, and at that time the wife will be cooking. Yeah, that's against the smartness. Iwallah. Cooking time is when the husband is absent. When he comes back home, this is the family time. Sit down and discuss matters. Sit down and teach each other and have a normal life. Not the life somebody's in the kitchen, bringing all the smell of the basal and garlic and everything. And then when the husband goes out, why aren't you staying home? Anyway, this is side benefits, which you guys, since you're all single, this in the future, yeah. Make sure that you establish a home like this. You Allah, it's wrong what many people are doing. It's wrong from both sides, the male and the female. Yeah, some people, they complain that they don't see the beauty of their wives unless if there is event. They're going to the event, mashallah. It will be like, I never thought I have somebody like this in the house. Right after she comes back, drop down everything and go back to, what do you call the thing that the cook put on now? April, go back to that one. So a house is just eating, cooking, and that's it. And having relationship, if any. And أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. That's not a good marriage. I'm telling you, that's not a good marriage. And this is not how family should function. Marriage has so many dimensions, so many things to be done. So brothers, they are supposed to be a bit, not harsh, but muhazim. That's why in the past, who did they recommend to be fat? Not fat, but full. Sisters or brothers? Sisters. They hate to see a brother that is like that. Why? Because they are fighters. And if you go to the war, you need to be very slim. That helps in al-karr wal-farr. That's why in the hadith of Ummu Zara, what was she saying? She was describing the son of Abu Zara. She said what? وَيُشْبِعُهُ ذِرَاءُ الْجَفَرَ. She said, مَضْجَعُهُ كَمَصَلِّ شَطْبَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَتْ. She said that his bed is just like a bed that is made from small woods. That's how light is. I never saw a description of a person like this except one, somebody from Kenya. I went to his room in Medina. Subhanallah, he was sleeping. I never thought he was in the room. The bed is. And I don't know whether that one will benefit or not, because sometimes being skinny also is problematic, You need to tie him when there is a hurricane to avoid him going with them. So moderation is always good, right? He eats a little bit amount of food, she said. Yeah. So they like this type of attitude, contrary to what we have nowadays. Somebody told me in his country, when you become a scholar, that means in few months you're going to become so fat. Allah. He said, you're going to become, you will be invited by so many people. Everyone is inviting you to his house to come and put barakah in the food. Come like animal. Yeah. You finish with this house, go to the next house. And this house, go to the next house. Yeah. Allah grant us good and tawfiq. So as I said, it's okay for the sisters to go for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legalized for them. The scholar said these two things which are prohibited upon the brothers. Gold and the salt. Get it? And gold also, you have also the harir, which is halal for them, but the brothers, it is not halal for them to go for this. So they set up these conditions of the ruwat, that he has to be trustworthy, he has to be a dhabit. So the scholars of hadith, this is their field, right? We shouldn't get involved if it is not our field. Right? So they said he has to be fiqh, trustworthy, and dhabit. Who is a dhabit? Very strong and sharp memory, right? Whatever he takes, he memorizes it. Is that clear, inshallah? So they said, if we have a person like this, then why do we assume that this person forgets? Whatever he told us, we never test a forgetfulness from his. We are not saying he cannot forget, but in these type of matters, this person is very strong. So everyone among the ruwat, he has to become fiqh. He has to be fiqh and trustworthy and good memory. So قال فما صحة الحديث لا مجال لتوه من خطأ الراوي. Why, after all the conditions have been fulfilled, why do we start thinking of mistake from the Rawi? We already set up the conditions, right? After we fulfill all of these conditions, all the conditions have been met, why do somebody come and tell us, no, maybe what? Then we have to go and readdress the conditions, right? And put them in another way, right? See, because this one, it seems to be this one cannot be enough. قَالَ وَمَعْمَا جَرَتْ بِهِ الْعَادَةُ مِنْ أَنَّ الثِّقَةَ الضَّابِتُ لَا يَغْفَرُ وَلَا يَكْذِبُ لَا مَجَلْ لِرَدِّ خَبَرِهِ لِمُجَرَدْ احْتِمَالٍ عَقْلِيٍ تَنْفِيهِ الْعَادَةِ. We know that according to the custom, according to the culture, the fiqh, trustworthy person, who is dhabit. Dhabit is not captain. In Arabic, dhabit has a captain. Right? Dhabit here means somebody who has good memory. You know. So if a person narrates a hadith who is upon this nature to us, and we know according to the custom, these type of people, they don't forget. They don't lie. They don't cheat. And they try to be very precise in what they are talking about. He says, why do we reject their statement just because of this thought on them? Is that clear, inshallah? So it doesn't make sense, actually, to say that khabar al-wahid, if you do adhan, and as such, we reject it. It doesn't make sense. Is that clear, inshallah? There are several evidences mentioned by the scholars to support this opinion. قال الأدلة على قبول الخبر الواحد وإذا تبين الزيف ما يبنى عليه عدم الأخذ بخبر الواحد في العقائد فالأدلة التي توجب الأخذ به كثيرة جاءت في كتاب والسنة منها. He said, if you understand that statement is fake, which says we don't take خبر الأحد, whatever they use to support this statement of theirs is fake, is wrong, is weak, is shaky, then let's go and see whether we have evidence from the Sunnah and the Quran to support our stance that Khabar al-Ahad is okay. And we use it in both Aqidah and Ahkam and Mu'amalat. أما الأدلة من الكتاب فهي كثيرة أذكر منها. He says we have so many evidences from the Quran. I mentioned only a few. Number one, قوله تعالى وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is not appropriate for all the believers to depart, going for jihad fi sabilillah. Everyone in the community left. For what? For jihad. He said, it's not appropriate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what to be done is, some will go for jihad, and there has to be the balance of the people who will remain behind and go and do the tafaqquh in the deen, and they will convey the message to their people. Allah used the word الطائفة, right? قال فهذه الآية تحث المؤمنين على التفقه في الدين. The ayah is encouraging people, the believers, to have the tafaqquh in the deen. Because al-fiqh bi al-tafaqquh wal-ilm bi al-ta'allum. It's not about gathering information, you know, it's about whether you understand or not. But there are some people who, mashallah, they memorize everything. But understanding is different. Yeah, in Medina, there used to be people, subhanAllah, in terms of good memory, they're excellent. One of the countries, they are really excellent memorization. However, when it comes to understanding, you don't say they are zift, they are not zift, but lesser than the rest. The rest might not memorize, but the understanding is very, very strong. But these ones, they are known to be very good in memorization. But whenever the question comes about explanation, then they're back. This is wrong approach in learning. You're supposed to combine both understanding and memorization. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged the believers to go and study and have the clear understanding of the deen. وَالطَّائِفَةُ تُطْلَقُ عَلَى مَا عَلَى الْوَاحِدِ فَمَا فَوْقُ. Ta'ifa, the word ta'ifa, is used by the Arab to address one person and above. So one person also could be called, according to the language, ta'ifa. قَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي وَيُسَمَّ الرَّجُلُ طَائِفَةً. Imam Bukhari said, according to the Arab, a person is called also ta'ifa. لَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. If you have two ta'ifa, and this ta'ifa doesn't necessarily mean group of Muslims who are fighting. They fought themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. You should fix and reconcile between them. فَلَوْ اقْتَتَلَ رَجُلَانِ دَخَلَ فِي الْمَعْنِ الْآيَةِ. If you have two people who are fighting each other, they are also involved in the meaning of the ayah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ta'ifa, to go and study and go and convey the message to their people, what does that mean? It means one person can convey a hadith in everything, including the aqidah. Because ta'ifa starts from one and above. Do we get the approach right? Okay, alhamdulillah. فَإِذَا كَانَ الرَّجُلُ يُؤْخَذُ بِمَا يُخْبِرُ بِهِ مِنْ أُمُورِ دِينِهِ كَانَ هَذَا دَلِيلًا. فَإِذَا كَانَ الرَّجُلُ يُؤْخَذُ بِمَا يُخْبِرُ بِهِ مِنْ أُمُورِ دِينِهِ كَانَ هَذَا دَلِيلًا عَلَى أَنَّ خَبَرَهُ حُجَّةً. So if according to this ayah, one person also can say something, Allah says, let them go and convey the message, and we accept what they say, that means the statement he is saying is hujjah, is evidence. You get it? وَالتَّفَقُّهُ فِي الدِّينِ يَشْمَلُ الْأَقَائِدَ وَالْأَحْكَامُ. And having the fiqh in the deen includes aqidah and the rest of the ahkam. بَلْ إِنَّ التَّفَقُّهَ فِي الْأَقَائِدِ أَهَمُّ مِنَ التَّفَقُّهُ فِي الْأَحْكَامُ. Having fiqh in the aqidah is actually more valuable than fiqh in the ahkam. Which one is stronger, aqidah or ahkam? Of course, aqidah, because they are the only one that can take a person in or out of Islam. قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا وفي قراءة فتثبتوا من التثبت. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever a fasiq comes to you with a khabar, information, fatabayyanu, verify first. And I heard somebody, and he passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy upon him, he said, any person who brought you with an information is called fasiq. It's very weird understanding, right? Allah is talking about fasiq. Who is a fasiq? Somebody who goes against the ta'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A bad Muslim. And subhanallah, nowadays, I will trust, yeah? Please listen to this carefully. Yeah? Nowadays, we trust an enemy of Allah, big enemy of Allah, you know, who make comment on our brothers, we trust that enemy. And we think that our brother is this and that. You get the situation we are in. You know? An enemy of Allah, who is against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who is telling me who is Mazin, who is Hamad, who is this and that, you know, and then everyone believes that this person is bad. What is the source? Rawahu John. Iwallah, you know. So useless thinking, Iwallah, nowadays. But Allah says, if a Muslim, but he is fasik, tell me something about my brother, Allah says, I shouldn't accept until I verify first. وَالْكَافِرُ فِسْقٌ وَزِيَدْ وَالْكُفْرُ, if a kafir tells you, kufr is fisk and go beyond fisk. The fasik, you have to check. And the kafir, I mean, just leave it aside. You know. But nowadays, we take from an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about our brothers. We're not saying they always lie. But if we are to check when a Muslim tells you something about your brother, you should double check when an enemy tells you about your brother before you make comment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a fasiq comes to you with a news and information, fatabayyanu, check it first, verify. And tusibu qawman bijahalatin fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin. In Makkah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached Makkah, right? He reached Makkah, right? He fought them, right? Dakhalha anwatan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah stopped him from fighting in Makkah, right? Because of the nature of the place. And Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Fath. He says, وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَن تَطَأُوهُمْ فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. He said, if not because of the fact that there are still in Makkah group of believers, male and female, who you don't know them. And if you're just going to randomly fight, you're going to kill who? Your brothers also. Although you deserve to fight. I mean, you have a right to fight. These people, they killed so many of the Muslims and all. And now you have a chance. You have a right to do so. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, don't go. And subhanAllah, I like this. Allah wants us to live naturally. Can Allah tell the Prophet who is who? Yes, very simple. But he did not. He just wants us to function as human beings, right? We use the possible evidence, because if Allah does this with Rasulullah, how about us when Rasulullah is gone? How do we do it? So we have to train ourselves in doing it manually, right? From the time of the Prophet, they were doing it like that. Allah says, if not because of these believers, male and female, who are living in Makkah and you don't know them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you fight, you might go and affect them, and then you are going to have a lot of deficiency and sadness. You will be sad. You know, you will not be happy with what happened because of you to those brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُهُ أَن تَطَأْ فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرًا لُيُدْخِلَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants, you know, the fighting not to happen, because many people after the conquest of Makkah, they accepted Islam in Makkah. Makkah became Islamic state after that. The Muslim territory. You get it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا لَعَذَّبْنَا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا means, لَوْ افْتَرَقُوا. The Muslims who are living in Makkah get to be separated from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, we will definitely punish those criminals. So tathabbut is necessary. Nowadays, I judge. Adam is this. Hamad is this. Hazik is this. Why? Because of my thoughts in them. Or because somebody told me something about them. That's why no matter how much trustworthy is a person, if he tells you about somebody else, you have to do what? Verification before you act. A great scholar that you trust tell you that Ustaz Ahmad and Sheikh Ahmad is bad, is an innovator. What must you do? The first thing is to tell him, sir, thank you very much for this information. Alhamdulillah, we need things like that. But any evidence that shows that he is like this? If that sheikh started doing like that, then you know that, yes, there is something most likely between him and that sheikh. That's why in the past they said, kalamul aqrani yutwa wa la yurwa. Abdul Rahman bin Abi Dhibt said about Malik, Imam Malik, you know, He said, "Yustatabu illa yuqtal." He said, Imam Malik should be asked to repent, otherwise his blood is free. Somebody has to cut off his head. And this is Malik, this is Abdurrahman ibn Abi Dhib. Both of them are great scholars, jibal in knowledge. But they don't come along sometimes. If you're going to go with Malik, you will never like Ibn Abi Dhib. And who is losing? You are losing. And if you like Abdurrahman ibn Abi Dhib, you're going to hate Malik. And you will never go and study from Malik. And who is losing? You're losing. That's why Imam al-Dhahabi said, when you see the Aqran, both of them are upon the manhaj of Salaf al-Salih, but they are, because this attitude is always there with the scholars and the student of knowledge. I don't want Hamad to be better than me. Yeah. And this is also my advice to the sisters. And honestly speaking, this one you find it with the sisters more than the brothers nowadays. Before it used to be with the brothers, but now with the sisters also. Lack of trust. A sister can come and teach, and the sisters don't value what she's saying. But if Sheikh Adam is going to teach, yeah, this is the correct opinion. But this is exactly what her sister was telling her yesterday. Why? No, we don't do that. As long as knowledge is there, right? The trust should be there also. And that's what hinder also some of the sisters from making progress in learning. And also supporting the other sisters. And if this courage is there, for long, subhanAllah, many obstacles that we face will be resolved. Will be resolved. Because there are things which might be very difficult for a sister to go and complain. Although it's okay, halal, for her to tell a scholar whatever is bothering her in her religion. No matter what it is. She shouldn't feel shy in her religion. A Muslim came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنْ الْحَقِّ. And the Prophet is in the presence of others. She said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah doesn't feel shy of saying the truth. What does that mean? She's going to say something which culturally people cannot say it, the sisters cannot say it. And that's okay, right? But she's going to ask because she needs to know what is that. She said, Ya Rasulullah, فَهَلَ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ مِنْ غُسْلٍ إِذَا هِيَ احْتَلَمَتْ. Is it wajib upon a sister when she sees a wet dream to make ghusl? One of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ who was there, she put her head down. What is this? What kind of sister is this? And the Prophet ﷺ did not say to her, you're wrong. Why do you ask this question? No, because what she does was right. You ask whatever question you want to ask. The only thing is you have to be serious. Because this is deen. You must make sure that you are not joking. No, you are serious. You want to know that. You did need to know the answer. And the Prophet ﷺ, did he answer her? Yes. He said, yes, إِذَا هِيَ رَأْتِ الْمَا. Actually, his answer is more than hers, you know. He says, yes, when she sees the water, when the money comes out of her, then she has to also make ghusl. That wife of Rasulullah ﷺ, now she has a question also. She told Rasulullah ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, but is it even possible for a sister to have a wet dream and she sees water? Meaning, does she even have money? And you know, the Prophet ﷺ explained the money of the wife, the woman, and the money of a male, the man, precisely in Sahih Bukhari. The way both look like. Yeah, because these are not matters to be shy of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot go to him and say to him, I don't know. No, he gives you everything. In some cultures, they don't teach the woman ahkamul hayd. She cannot learn that because she's too young for her to learn. So how does she pray? She has to figure out how to do. The school, when she goes to the school, the classes, they will skip this topic because they're too shy. It's too inappropriate for them to know. How does she worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? She will remain ignorant. Yeah, that's why you have many of the wives of the scholars, they are the most ignorant people because they don't teach them. And the community, which is so Islamic community, but the sisters, they are the most dumb and ignorant people in terms of knowledge. Why? Because we think they shouldn't know these type of things. This is wrong. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did that. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the brothers took you from us. You have no time for us, Ya Rasulullah. And we think they're not doing fair to us. They're always with you. And the only chance we have is to come to the masjid and pray with you, and not every time you're giving lectures. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, we also want. So he gave them a day where he meet them alone and teach them about their religion. What does that mean? It means it is correct for us to do it. I remember in the history back there, there was a time when the Sunnah came to the place, and that place was dominated by the cultural, you know, people who know nothing except culture. When those scholars started teaching the sisters, subhanAllah, it became a big issue. One of them was writing a poetry, you know, sending harsh statement to that scholar, you know. That Mujaddid, he was telling him, فَمْنَعْ زِيَارَةَ نِسْوَانِ لِوَعَذِكَ. And I forgot the other part of the bait, but he's saying you should stop sisters from coming to your the place where you are teaching. Yeah, because they take it as something which is not appropriate. But subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he do that? Yes. Lena fi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uswa. They used to come to the place of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, and the rest of the Khulafa, whoever is teaching, they come. Imam Bukhari, in his majlis, you have sisters also attending. Yeah, you have Karima. You go to the commentary of Sahih Bukhari, you have this woman, she is everywhere. And subhanAllah, some scholars said she is, if not the strongest person in terms of memory. One of our scholars was saying that there used to be a time when the Shabab were having conflict. What exactly was said by Bukhari? If nobody wants to agree with the other one. When they reach her, whatever she said, everyone would say yes. The end of the discussion. Because they believe that this woman, subhanAllah, she has a very sharp and strong memory. Of course, she's not mixing with them. She's staying in the place which is appropriate for her, but she is taking everything what she is saying, what Imam Bukhari is saying. Do we have sisters like this? Yes, we do have a few. Right. This is why it is my personal begging. Wallah, it is my personal begging to the sisters. Study hard. Bring your papers to the class. Take note. Study and memorize. Do this jihad for the Muslim Ummah, whereby you take care of your sisters, you know, in the way they don't need to complain always to the brothers. Isn't it better? Yeah, Allah, it's better. Yeah, it's okay for them to come to the classes, but if you have classes designed for the sisters, it's better. More freedom for her to ask whatever questions she wants. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. So, back to the issue of the tathabbut. You know, when a person tells you something, we have to do the tathabbut before you act upon it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُهُمْ أَن تَطَعُوهُمْ فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا لَعَذَّبْنَا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. So tathabbut is wajib. I really advise you, don't talk about your Muslim brothers and sisters out of doubt. Wallahi, it's not simple. I'm saying this because we have so many people, their life is just about Omar is bad, this one is bad, this one is bad. What do you benefit from this? Yeah, he's, inshallah, Omar will never be bad, but he's doing something bad and calling people upon his bid'ah, his innovation. Can I warn people about him? Yes, I have to. But in normal circumstances, somebody told me, Sheikh so and so and so, there are some who I remember, they stopped coming to my classes because they believe that I am mubtadi'. Why? Because I don't curse people. My sin is I don't curse people in the majlis. And one of them said that I mentioned one of our contemporary scholars and I did not criticize him. So I asked him after he came to my class, after long he cut off my class from the Jama'at al-Qayyum, may Allah guide him. Yeah. So I asked him one day, after long time he came to me in Inti College in one of my classes. He came and he followed the brothers. I was surprised, you know, because I know the brothers, they always come to wherever I have class, like Jinn, those people from Nottingham. Allah, sometimes I would be wondering who told them I have class. But I would see them always in my class. How did they get the information? I didn't know. That's why I call them Jinns. So I see this man with them. I just swallowed, because I know who he is. I just swallowed. So he came to me. He told me, please accept my apology. I said, why? He said, because I used to think of this and that, because I asked my sheikh from my country, I think he's from Uzbekistan or something, he said he asked his sheikh, and the sheikh said, stay away from him. So, you know, I joke a lot. So I found this the joke of the day. So I told him, but why, by the way, what did I do? You know, I'd like to know, if it is something wrong, I should stay away from it. Why not? But then he said, because you mentioned so and so and so, Sheikh, and he did not curse him. I say, oh, but I never know that this Sheikh has a problem. But by the way, what is his problem? And subhanAllah, aqsimu lakum billah, he doesn't know. I ask him, what is his problem? He said he doesn't know, but my Sheikh told me that I stay away from him. I say, okay, then did you have time to ask your Sheikh, what did he do? Because we have in the past, callers are accusing each other, right? This one will tell his student, don't go to this Sheikh, don't go to that Sheikh. Al-Dhahabi says, kalamul aqran yutwa wala yurwa. The accusations of the scholars, ba'aduhum bi-ba'ad, those scholars that we trust them, right? This, upon the manhaj of the Salaf al-Saleh, when they're accusing each other, we just take it, this is just the jealousy of the mate. You know? Imam al-Dhahabi says, yutwa wala yurwa, just fold it and keep it aside. Don't narrate it. Just keep it aside and keep on benefiting from both of them because both of them are upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So I ask him, what did he do? He doesn't know. What kind of life is this? Somebody deprive you from benefiting because he doesn't want you to become a scholar like him. That's why tell me among those people, whoever become a scholar like the sheikh that is telling him, don't go to this, don't go to that. Yes, we do agree with them. We also do. If a person is wrong, inviting to wrongdoing, against the manhaj of the Salaf al-Saleh and the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, you have to tell people to stay away from him, but not in the way we see nowadays. You know? Every person can come and tell you, oh, this one is this one is that. And if you ask him, what did he do? And sometimes, trust me, it's just a fiqh matter. And if you check, sometimes this person which he rejected is actually more right than that one. No, that's why I love Ibn Uthaymeen so much, Allah. I love Ibn Uthaymeen. No matter how much you try, you know these people, they are upon the sunnah and they love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than you. But he says, keep aside from all of these things that are separating the ummah, just hold upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam according to the interpretation of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Stick to that. Because nowadays, everyone is cursing everyone. How many types of tabligh you have? A lot. How many types of Sufis you have? How many types of Salafiyya you have? A lot, different types of Salafiyya. And we curse each other, you know, calling each other certain names. Ya Allah, Alhamdulillah, in the place where you live, you don't have this fitna, but go to some places, wallahi, you see brothers, they're from the same manhaj, you know, the same scholars who are teaching them, but they're fighting each other, like real enemies.
Same scholars?
Not the same person, but same manhaj. I have Umar and I have Hammad. Both of them, I agree that both of them are okay in their manhaj and their approach. But he has students and Umar has students. The students, both of them don't come along, fighting each other. They pray the same thing, they fast in the same way, they do the same thing, but just because these ones are not with this, and not going to the class of this day. So be very careful. This is a responsibility. Wallah, whatever you say about somebody, you have to substantiate it when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see the Salaf al-Saleh, even those who deserve to be criticized, they are very sensitive when it comes to this matter. You know, Bukhari, sometimes when he talk about a person, he will say, Taraku. They don't say anything about him. They neglected him. People know that if Imam Bukhari said this to about somebody, that person might be kadhab. But many of them are afraid of getting involved in backbiting. They found it so difficult to talk against others, but since this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have to do. Right? Abu Dawood, when they ask him about his son, what did he say? He says, Ibni Kadhab. My son is Kadhab. He said, who are deen? This is a religion. And one of them was asked about his father. He says, Abi Da'if. He said, my father is weak. He said, this is a religion. I have no choice except to tell everyone that my father is weak. Is he doing uquq al-waldain? No. This is janab al-deen. You have to. Yeah, he respects him. He goes and supports him. He does everything. He sits next to him. He doesn't raise up his voice. But when it comes to religion, he tells people that his father is this. So we keep him according to his position because this is the religion of Allah, a deen with Allah. You keep the respect aside. You respect, but when it comes to religion, you talk in the right way. Yahya ibn Ma'in said, "Inna lanat'anu 'ala aqwamin la'alla al-wahid minhum qad hatta rahlahu fil jannati mundhu 200 sana." SubhanAllah. Ibn Ma'in said, sometimes we might criticize a person, you know, a people, but at the same time, we believe that these people that we're talking against them, they have been in Jannah 200 years ago. But this is deen. That was their relationship with Allah. But when it comes to the deen, we have to tell people who they are to protect the deen of the Prophet, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear, inshallah? So please, maximize your patience, study, right? Those people who deserve to be, you know, criticized, and you have to remind people, you should do. Don't let people go and take from anyone. You know that this person is a deviant person and you let people to go? No, tell them about who he is and explain to them why you are saying this. Yeah? But don't make your life like this. Yeah? This person is this and that. Focus on your study, inshallah. So we stop here, bi-idhnillah azawajal. Next week, inshallah, we continue from where we stopped, which is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u allaha wa ati'u rasoola wa ulil amri minkum. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا قراءة says فَتَثَبَّتُوا I know. That's قراءة authentic narration متواترة that says فَتَثَبَّتُوا التثبت والتبين the same. تبين من طلب البيان. I tell you something about Umar. Ask me why. You cannot just use my statement and judge him because I might be lying against him. I might be wrong in terms of understanding what he's doing. Yeah, so you check first with me and with others before you make comment. Yeah.
I was just wondering if it was if it read in that particular qira'ah.
If
it is read, can be read in that
one. I can. There is qira'ah mutawatirah. I can't remember who is reading amongst the qura'ah, but there is qira'ah mutawatirah that says fatathabbatu. Instead of fatabayyanu, it says fatathabbatu. So it's correct when somebody reads this qira'ah in the prayer. Very correct. Just it's similar to Fatabayyan.
Yes.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Jazakum khairan, Sheikh.
Allahumma ameen.
The first question, Sheikh, is from Abdul Wahid. How to train our children not to overeat and also not to indulge in unhealthy eating habits?
Don't cook a lot. Yeah, this is really a good message to the sister. Don't cook a lot, and don't cook so little. You know, sisters should understand this. Cooking a lot is an invitation for the kids to eat a lot, the husband to eat a lot, the wife also eat a lot. But be moderate in cooking. And trust me, throughout my experience, I learned that we always waste food and harm ourselves. That's why when I tell some people, you know, how can you finish this bag in a week, you know? Yeah, because I see, we eat, we don't punish ourselves, but the amount of the food, the quantity is not that much, and everyone is satisfied. When you moderate, trust me, you will be enough for everyone. Because the problem is the mouth will never stop having interest to keep adding. But your stomach is telling you stop, you know. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, eat a lot, little, he says. Yeah, eat a little. So the stomach is there, but the tongue is not satisfied yet. That's why you keep eating. And you go and you cannot sleep sometimes. The moment you lie down, you feel like vomiting. You have to keep on hanging around there, you know, trying to see how some part of this food will be digested. And you've got a lot of problems. Yeah. So my advice to the wife is to cook moderately. Not so much and not very little. Because very little also will invite the kids, after eating this main meal, they'll go to the fridge and get their cornflakes and get their cake and get this and that and then eat until, mashallah. So the balance of the stomach, which is supposed to be empty, they'll feed it with something else. Whose fault is that? The wife. Right, so cook moderately, in the way she knows that, yes, these guys are okay, but they just want to take something, and then tell them, no, be patient, and explain to them why. Most of the sisters, they have no explanation, you know. It's just not. You are not allowed to go and touch it. And that's wrong. Sit with the baby. Yeah, be patient. No shoes, no bad words, no anything. Just tell him, boy. Which one is better, to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or to follow the shaitan? Of course, the boy will say, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then read for him the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this and that. Don't you think you eat to your satisfactory? He will tell you, yes. So wait first. Inshallah, the next meal is coming, is on the way. You get it? So that's the best way to train the kids, you know. Don't cook a lot and don't cook so little. Be moderate in cooking and explain to them why they should be patient. And subhanAllah, you just need to do it once, twice, thrice, and then inshallah they will start getting familiar with it. And that's why you have to be serious in tarbiyah. I told Mazin yesterday, those stingy guys in the revivals, they don't give us enough time. 1/3 of my lecture is being just presented. Yeah, it's always stingy, I will say it here. Have a time, yeah, I will repeat, it's also here. Please convey the message to the leaders. One of them is here and the others. So convey to Faza. If you can have a session, let's say on the 15th, right before the exams. So nobody will say, I'm busy with the exam. We did not even start. Yeah, on the 15th will be Friday, right? Yeah, it will be Friday. Yeah, because I teach, I know when it's 14. 14 we finish the classes. So 15 is Friday, inshallah. Saturday. Oh, 15 Saturday? Oh, all of these praises, I'm wrong? Allahu musta'an. So 15 is Saturday. Okay. I was going to say Friday, but if Saturday, you can do Saturday. Yeah, if Saturday is good, have on Saturday. No need to invite Yajuj or Majuj, no. Just the revivers people and people come into the class and invite parents. Yeah, revivers, people come into our classes, and you can extend the invitation to the parent. And have what small place, and tell people to come with patience. Don't come like you have 1 minute to go, no. Then we can have 2-3 hours, straightforward, to talk about every single part of the tarbiyah, whatever we can discuss. I think it will be good, inshallah. Yeah. Agree? Inshallah, try to see if it could be established. That would be great, inshallah. What did you have for Arafah? So you are fasting, that's good. You can do it in the daytime. Yeah. Don't go to the night. Can do it in the daytime. That's okay, inshallah. Arafah actually is good to have knowledge, seeking knowledge on the day of Arafah. It's nice.
Advice us on how we can maintain our spirit in attending classes online and taking notes without fail. We have started to struggle in keeping up our attentiveness with note taking.
We know Sister Shafa will forgive, right? Last time she forgave, today also she will forgive, inshallah. Because they already make the adhan for Maghrib. Yeah. So inshallah, next time I will save time. The problem is we finish this class late. Yeah, next time we'll save time to talk, inshallah. Just keep on maximizing your patience to come online and to focus those who are coming online. And inshallah, a day will come where we'll talk about how to do that, bi-idhnillah. Any questions to the Hafiz? Other like, okay, so. Lagi.
Question from Sister Meem. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I read a hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not laugh a lot, much
sallallahu
laughter kills the heart. So the hadith says, do not laugh a lot, much laughter kills the heart. Can you explain this to us?
Last week, I think we asked this hadith and we gave a homework. And Hamad, I think, is the one who is supposed to. Hey, Hamad, should I sit there and you come here?
I wasn't supposed to explain.
No problem. Now it changes. So you are our sheikh now. What did you find from that hadith? It says, the one that says laughing kills the heart.
the narration which says that laughing kills the heart is Hassan.
Okay.
And there's another narration from Abu Huraira as well. That one says that laughing kills the heart. So, yeah, this one is Sahih.
So either Hassan or Sahih?
Yeah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, because last time I wasn't sure. I know that there is a hadith, but I'm not sure about the authenticity, whether it's... So alhamdulillah, Sheikh Hamad told us that it is confirmed that to be either Hassan or authentic.
The one with
Hassan. The one that destroys the heart, the same thing. Because when he destroyed the heart, killing the heart destroyed it. When the heart is destroyed, it's khalas gone. Yeah. Because when the heart is gone, a person is dead. So he's referring to the fasad al qalb. So it doesn't mean that if you laugh, then your heart is dead. No, laughing too much. Kathratu dhahik, laughing too much. But a person can laugh. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed, he smiled, companions laughed, but they don't laugh too much. You know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. Life is going to be very rough if there is no laughing, right? Alhamdulillah, Allah did not make it prohibited, but a person should be moderate, always. I did, right. Yeah. What else should I say? The types of laughing? Hamad, another wajib of one.
There's one da'if hadith which says there are two types of laughter.
Alhamdulillah, you see?
It's da'if, though.
But he says da'if hadith, right?
There's two types of laughter. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, one dislikes. So the one he dislikes is idle laughter, laughing or things which...
Something that is correct, right? Something that is good, like what the Prophet Allah Summa did.
He dislikes idle laughter, like group of friends sitting and just laughing unnecessarily.
That's the wrong one. And the correct one?
Correct one is like when two Muslims, they see each other after a long time and they're so happy they laugh.
And they laugh. That one's the correct one. What do you put when your wife is telling you some stories and you laugh?
That one is forced.
That one is makruh. And then the next time she will make a big story that you hate her. You don't even care about her stories, right? Rawahu Hamad. So Hamad says this hadith is weak, right? So we don't need to worry, right? So the point is you can laugh unless if you're told not to laugh, right? Somebody pass gas. Do we laugh? No, we shouldn't. Right? Yeah, tell him hadakallah. Don't laugh at him. Because everyone also can do that. But tell him, may Allah guide you. Please, next time, go to somewhere else.
Everyone will laugh if you say that.
Yeah, smile, no problem. Because this one, you cannot control this. Yeah, they shouldn't laugh at him. Don't let him know. But naturally, how can you control the smile? Yes, everything. Allah says, mimma tarak. Whatever is left by the deceased has to be part of the faraid. Anything.
The next question from Brother Irfan. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Is it possible from the lack of sahaba in a hadith for a one-year-old baby to drink mother's milk when the mother is pregnant with another baby?
Yes, it's halal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to... when a wife is breastfeeding, for a person even to have a relationship with her, but then he said because he think it might cause some problems. You know, I think this problem is called ghila. It's a problem, you know, it's a health issue. But then he said, I found the Persians, they are doing this. And it doesn't affect their children. He said, okay, then it's okay for everyone to do. He said, because that was just a thought from him, from himself. So a person can have a relationship with a pregnant person and she can breastfeed also a child. That's why the best, if she can control, she and the husband, they can control themselves to give chance to the baby to finish the breastfeeding first. Right, they have a son, let him complete his breastfeeding. The best is 2 years. Yeah, but it's okay every year to have a child, it's fine. Don't listen to the one who will call her animal. There are some people who say she's just like animal, just there producing kids. Subhanallah. that person has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he is a Muslim. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should marry somebody who can produce a child. Because I want to be proud of your size on the Day of Judgment. Get it? So he can breastfeed even during the pregnancy. No problem. Finish? More like? 1 or 2, 3?
3. 3,
okay. Please, faster so that we can pray.
The next question, Sheikh. After Idda, can the husband provide for the wife when children are with the father, or should she protect her honor and not take money from him?
If he gives her as a gift, it's okay. Yeah, he gives, no problem. Especially when she is with his kid, he's responsible actually to provide for the kid. Next question.
The next question.
Should I give you my glasses? So if you can already, just skip the next one.
The next question. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. A friend argues that cooking does not fall under a woman's responsibility, and she would not be questioned on it. If her kids and husband need food, her job is to provided, therefore she can order from outside. If they want home-cooked meals, the husband can learn to cook and eat it or feed the kids. Is her argument correct? And if not, how should I explain it to her?
La hawla quwwata. Shall we make... Marriage is based on custom and cultural practices, right? So the custom goes with the wife cook, and that will be mandatory upon her because of the custom. And this is a message also to those who are telling sisters nowadays, it's not your responsibility and on and on. And many marriages are broken, are gone because of this. And sisters are losing. And those guys, they're still having their wives cooking for them. But this miskina, they provoke her and push her, and she lost her marriage, and they don't care about that. This is a wrong statement. The wife of the Prophet ﷺ cooks for him. The daughters of Rasulullah ﷺ cook for their husbands. And this is a cultural practice of almost every nation wherever you go. We're just living in the modern time where the wife doesn't want to cook. And this is wrong actually for her. For health-wise, actually, it's even inappropriate for her. Because what does she do? Eat, drink, and then go and sleep and have a relationship with the spouse. Trust me, she will be, you know, vulnerable to many types of diseases that need exercise. Go into the kitchen, clean the house, all of these things that she's doing is counted for her. She's getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strengthening the relationship between her and the husband, protecting the family. You rarely see family eating food at home and getting put poisoning from the home food, usually. That's why when I ask a person I went to buy juice, it was written 100% juice. I asked him, I said, brother, please, is it 100%? He told me, brother, the only 100% juice is the one that your wife make for you. Well, I told him, yes, you're right. Is it the only 100% juice is the one that your wife is making? So please do preserve this system. It is not a slavery. It's part of the cooperation between the husband and the wife. Get it? Yeah. I really advise any wife, any sister who listen to this advice by those kind of liberalist people to throw it away. By virtue of the custom, it is part of our responsibility at home. Yeah. Allah grant us good. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.